بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, once again for the umpteenth time our attention, the world's attention has been drawn to the land of Asham. Specifically to the country Syria. We have witnessed once again the atrocities over the past 2 weeks that have been carried out against the Syrian Muslims by the regime and by the Russian forces. It started off with Dir'a, the district of Dir'a, and then it went on to Idlib, it went to the city of Homs, it then went to the city of Halab, and every now and again the news shows images and we are exposed to such types of footages which really makes a Muslim and a believer feel helpless. That the suffering, and for how long will the Ummah in that part of the world continue to endure these types of tests and trials? This time, our attention is drawn to the city or the district of Al-Ghawta. Perhaps many of us have only learned of the name of the city Al-Ghawta over the past 2 weeks, when the media's attention was drawn to that city because of the sufferings of the people over there, the innocent civilians and the children, the women. And we have seen and heard of innocent children sending out audio recordings, pleading to the world, little children, pleading to the world that we have no food to eat, we have no shelter to live in. We are living in underground trenches and caves in order to safeguard and protect ourselves against the shelling and the relentless bombing that has been going on. Now the city Al-Ghawta is a very significant place. This district Al-Ghawta that we have learnt of is a place of great significance and importance. And Allah has made indirect mention of the city of Al-Ghawta, specifically where the atrocities are taking place and where the events are unfolding. Allah has made an indirect reference to this place in the Quran. وَجَعَلْنَا ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ وَأُمَّهُ آيَةً وَآوَيْنَاهُمَا إِلَىٰ رَبْوَةٍ ذَاتِ قَرَارٍ وَمَعِينٍ. Let us go many, many years back, the time of Isa alayhi salam, a very ancient city, a very ancient region. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse number 50, Allah says, we made Ibn Maryam, the son of Mary, Isa alayhi salam, along with his mother, both of them, we have made them an ayah, a sign for the world, a miracle. A miracle in a sense that Maryam alayhi salam, she conceived her child and she delivered the child miraculously. That was one ayah. So she became a miracle and a sign that she conceived the child without the intervention of a male. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَابْنَهَا, and her son as well, Ibn Maryam, he was a miracle. He was born without the intervention of a father, a miraculous birth. So Allah says, we made both of them an ayah, a sign for the world. A time came when Isa alayhi salam, along with his mother, both of them had to flee their homeland. Why? Because the Yahud, the Jews, were determined on murdering Isa alayhi salam. They have decided that we can no longer have anything more to do with this man. They rejected him as a Nabi of Allah, and they accused him of sorcery and magic. So they decided to assassinate him and murder him along with his mother. Both the mother of Isa, Maryam alayhi salam, and her son Isa, both of them had to flee their homeland. Allah says, we provided shelter for them. وَآوَيْنَاهُمَا Allah says, we provided shelter for them. We provided a place of refuge for them. They fled from their homeland. Allah says, إِلَى رَبْوَةٍ رَبْوَةٍ Allah describes that land as a rabwa. What is rabwa? High ground that is level, having level areas. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَاتِ قَرَارٍ وَمَعِينٍ And flowing water in that region, in that area, where they had taken refuge and where they found safety from the Yahud. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he recited this verse to the Sahaba, he says, هَلْ تَدْرُونَ أَيْنَ هِيَ Do you know where that rabwa is? Do you know where that Rabwa can be found, that land to which Isa alayhi salam had sought refuge in? Do you know where it is? So Sahaba says, Allahu wa Rasulu alam. Rasulullah says, Qala hiya bisham. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that area where they found safety and security is in the land of Sham, bi ardin yuqalu laha al-ghawtah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa used the word in the hadith, ghawtah. The land of Ghouta, the region of Ghouta, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says specifically they sought refuge in the area of Al Ghouta. So we find that indirect reference is made to this city or to this region of Al Ghouta. That is our topic of discussion in today's pre-khutbah talk. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, let's go many, many years before that, the era of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What an ancient city. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, Wulida Ibrahim fi Ghouta Dimashq. He says, Ibrahim alayhi salam was born in Ghouta. He was born there. That is the birthplace of one of the greatest Anbiya, who is known as Abul Anbiya, Ibrahim alayhi salam, the father of all the Anbiya. Such a great Nabi was born in that land or that district, that area of Al Ghouta. Biqariyatin yuqalu laha Barza, the village in the Al Ghouta district where Ibrahim alayhi salam was born was known as Barza. Abu Darda, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had made mention of the city or the district of Al-Ghouta in a hadith. Clearly spoke of that region Al-Ghouta. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith is reported by Abu Darda. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Inna fustat al-muslimin yawm al-malhama. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks of a malhama. Malhama. What is a malhama? The decisive war that will take place at close to the end of times. That is known as al-malhama. A huge battle, a huge war that will be fought. More details regarding this battle and against whom this battle will be fought, inshallah, will be discussed in the next hadith. But my point I want to bring to you is the usage of the name of this district in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Direct reference to this district where all the trouble is happening. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna fustat al-muslimin yawm al-malhama." Look, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the Muslims will reach the lowest point ever. They will be divided, they will be weak, they will be without a leader. The Muslim Ummah, they will reach the lowest point ever before Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is sent as the leader to guide the believers. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that during this malhama, this huge malhama war that will erupt and that will take place, the decisive war between the disbelievers and the believers, the disloyal and the loyal, the faithful and the unfaithful, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at that time says the Muslims will go out seeking for a fustat. What is a fustat? A fustat is a stronghold, a fortress. A fortress wherein they will seek refuge. Let's go back to Maryam alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam. When they sought refuge and they wanted a place of security, Allah directed them to where? Ghouta. The Muslims, at the time of that malhama, that great war that will take place, they will go out in search, looking for a place of refuge and security. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, they will find it where? Bil Ghouta, in Ghouta. That will become the fortress. Where the true believers, Allah knows whether this war that is taking place will lead to that actual malhama or not. That is beyond us. That is in the ilm and the knowledge of Allah. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that is where they will find security. That will become the fustat, the fortress. Where is Al-Ghawta? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِلَى جَانِبِ مَدِينَةٍ يُقَالُ لَهَا دِمَشْقِ. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, it is close to the main city of Damascus, Dimashq. Approximately 10 kilometers from the Asima, the capital of Syria, Damascus, to this region of Al-Ghawta, where all the trouble is happening at this present moment. About 10 kilometers. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave specific details with regards to the location of Al-Ghawta. And you will see how accurate those details are according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's speak about Dimashq. While Ghawta is a very ancient district or a very ancient city and villages that are located in that district, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says it's close to Damascus. Damascus is also a very ancient city which was formed and built up in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Very ancient as well. The city of Damascus. It was called Dimashq. Why is it called Dimashq? It was called Dimashq because by its founder, by the name of the founder, the one who established the city. He was Dimshaq bin Namrud. Dimshaq. Can you see the similarity? His name was Dimshaq. Dimshaq, the son of Namrud. Namrud, we all know who Namrud was. Namrud was the oppressive king in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who ordered that Ibrahim alayhi salam should be cast into the huge fire. We all know about Namrud and his rejection of the faith of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He had a son by the name of Dimshaq. Dimshaq, Dimashq, Damascus is named after Dimshaq. Dimshaq ibn Namrud. Dimshaq, he was a believer in Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, the son of Namrud. The son of Namrud, he was a firm believer in Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he was one of the close associates of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was the founder of the city of Damascus, hence it was named Dimashq after the founder. Now we spoke about the malhama that will take place. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says the Muslims will seek refuge in Ghawta. In the district of Ghawta. This Malhama, what's this Malhama all about? It's a huge war. We said Malhama, you have Malahim, small skirmishes that take place, guerrilla, wars and so forth. These are all Malahim. But Al-Malhama refers to that main war that will take place, all these skirmishes, and these little battles and wars that are taking place will lead up to Al-Malhama. What is this Malhama all about? Auf bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala said, it was the occasion of the battle of Tabuk. I went to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We were out of Medina. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated in a leather tent. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when I came there, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Auf, count 6 signs that indicate the approach of the final hour. 6 signs. Once you have witnessed these 6 signs of Auf bin Malik, then await the final hour. What are those 6 signs? Number 1, my death. The first alama of alamat al-qiyamah, the first sign of the signs of qiyamah, minor signs, these are minor signs, was the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The second, the conquest of Jerusalem, Auf, in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, that sign has passed. So sign number 1 has passed. The second sign, the conquest of Jerusalem. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ta'un, a plague. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a plague that will afflict you. And it will kill you in great numbers as the plague that afflicts sheep. This sign has also passed. In the 18th year of Hijrah, during the reign and during the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there was an outbreak of the bubonic plague. We know the bubonic plague. There was an outbreak of the bubonic plague in Europe as well. Many people died as a result of that plague, the bubonic plague over there. But there was also an outbreak of the bubonic plague in Asham, in the region of Sham. And this was in the 18th year of Hijrah. And many Muslims passed away. Great, great Sahaba died. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it will kill you, O my Sahaba. This plague, it's a sign, a minor sign from the signs of Qiyamah. And Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, such a great Sahabi, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, he was killed. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu ta'ala, they were all killed by this plague, this bubonic plague that had erupted in that area. So that sign has passed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about the plague. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says there will be an increase of wealth to such an extent that even one is given 100 dinars. There will be so much wealth that you will give a person 100 dinars, he will still not be satisfied with that. Still not satisfied with 100 dinars. Why so many liabilities, so many debts, so many responsibilities and duties? It will just eat up the money that you had given to him. So he's still not satisfied, he needs more. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, then an affliction, there will be a fitna, which no Arab house will escape. As-sadisa. Now listen to the sixth sign. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ended with this sign. The sixth sign, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, this will be the last minor sign of Qiyamah. Then comes Mahdi. The first major sign of Qiyamah is the appearance and the arrival of Imam al-Mahdi. When did we say Imam Mahdi will come? When the Ummah is at its lowest point ever. Without a leader, in need of a savior. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, and the sixth one, Aw'auf, is Hadana. تَكُونُ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ بَنِي الْأَصْفَرِ Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, a truce will take place. There will be a truce that will be enacted. Between who? Between you, the Muslims, and Banu al-Asfar. Between you and Banu al-Asfar. Now, let us understand, who are Banu al-Asfar? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has made reference to them in several hadith. Banu al-Asfar. Banu al-Asfar, if you look at the literal meaning of Banu al-Asfar, it means children of the yellow one. Banu means children, al-Asfar is the color yellow. So literal meaning, the children of the yellow one, the ones with yellow skins. The ones with yellow skins. Contemporary scholars have interpreted it as the ones with blonde hair. The ones with blonde hair. There will be a truce between you and them. We can confidently interpret Banu al-Asfar as the Europeans and the Westerners, the Western world. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says there will be a truce. This is the sixth and final minor sign before the major signs commence. So there will be a truce between you and the Banu al-Asfar. But what will happen? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, يَسِيرُونَ إِلَيْكُمْ عَلَى ثَمَامِينَ رَايَةٍ تَحْتَ كُلِّ رَايَةٍ إِثْنَا عَشَرَ أَلْفًا. They will betray you. Whether they are the Russians, the Europeans, the Westerners, they will betray you. They will breach the truce. And they will attack you under 80 objectives. Under each objective will be 12,000 soldiers. In other words, a huge army. They will prepare a huge army. Al-Kufru Millatun Wahida. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Kufr in its entirety is one religion. No matter what their affiliation is. But Kufr, disbelief, they will all come together. All of them. The Banu al-Asfar, and they will make the Muslim Ummah the object of their attack. And they will come to attack you, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Fustatu al-Muslimin yawma idhin fi ard. At that time, when they will come out with this huge army to attack you, drop bombs on you, and release missiles on you. They will come without with all their might and military power and everything. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, on that day, at that time, at that point, the Muslims will come to Al-Ghawta. They will find refuge and security in the district of Al-Ghawta in Asham, the greater Syria. And Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, this is something fascinating which I came across. The statement of Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. He says, Rahimahullah, takunu fitna. كان أوله أولها لعب الصبيان. He says a fitna will start in Asham. Fitna is a great test, a trial. Could be in the form of a war. That is a fitna. A great test and a great time trial will come upon the Ummah and specifically upon the region of Asham. Asham is a very significant, greater Syria. Is a very significant region. Much significance has been attached to that part of land. That's going to be the mahshar. On the day of Qiyamah, the resurrection will commence on the plains of Asham. That will be our mahshar. So, Sa'id ibn Musayyib, rahimahullah, what did he say? Takuna fitna. He says there's going to be this great fitna. What they are experiencing, that's a fitna. It's a test, it's a trial, it's a calamity upon that part of the ummah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, تَكُونُ فِتْنَةً كَانَ أَوَّلُهَا لَعِبُ الصِّبْيَانِ. What will cause? How will this fitna start? The war, the trouble, the atrocities, how will it start? He says, لَعِبُ الصِّبْيَانِ. لَعِبُ الصِّبْيَانِ. Look at the accurate detail and information provided. He says it will start off by some careless behavior of youngsters. لَعِبُ الصِّبْيَانِ. لَعِب means to play around. صِبْيَان means youngsters. It will start off with the playing around of some youngsters. Now let us go back to the beginning of the war in Egypt. The civil war that, not in Egypt, it is in Syria. The beginning of the civil war in Syria. How did it start off? لعب الصبيان. It started off it started off firstly in the area of Dir'ah. That is where it started. This whole fitna that Sa'id ibn Musayyib is speaking about started in the region of Dir'ah. That's where it started off, right? And what happened in Dir'ah? Dir'ah, when youngsters, they express their dissatisfaction with the regime. Youngsters, it started off with Sibyan. What did he say? It's going to start off with Sibyan, with the youngsters. Right? Their careless behavior. What did they do? They started expressing their dissatisfaction with the regime by painting graffiti on public walls. La'iba Sibyan. They were playing around. They were messing around. They expressed their dissatisfaction. They went about painting graffiti all over the place, all over the city of Dir'ah. And this graffiti, obviously, it clearly reflected their opposition to the regime. So that's how it started. What an accurate description. And that's when the opposition, and that's when the regime then started the offensive against the people of Dir'ah. Look at what the starting point was. Then he goes on to say, كُلَّمَا سَكَّنَتْ مِنْ جَانِبٍ طَمَتْ مِنْ جَانِبٍ. This fitna is such that when it will subside in one area, it will flare up in another area. Now look at how accurate this is. It started where? It started in Dir'ah. When the moment it subsided in the region of Dir'ah, it flared up where? In Raqqa. We heard of the suffering of Muslims in Raqqa. When it subsided in Raqqa, it flared where? Next was what? Idlib. When it subsided in Idlib, it flared up where? In Halb. When it subsided in Halb, it flared up where? In Hims. After Hims, we are now sitting with it in Ghouta. The fitna has reached Ghouta. He described this fitna thousands of years ago. He spoke about it 1400 years ago. فَلَا تَتَنَاهَا. He said it's not going to end. There's going to be no end to this fitna. What we are witnessing in Sham, there is no end to it. He said it's not going to end. The fitna, the test, the trial, the wars over there are not going to come to an end. حَتَّى يُنَادِي مُنَادٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Until a caller will call out. The Muslims will be at the weakest point ever. And a caller and announcer will announce, Allah, إِنَّ الْأَمِيرَ فُلَانٌ. An Amir, a leader, has been sent to the Muslim Ummah. Meaning Al-Imam Mahdi. So according to this, and Allah knows best, that this is the last minor sign of Qiyamah. What we are witnessing in the land of Asham. According to the hadith which I narrated, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, count six. This was the sixth one. According to Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, this fitna is not going to end. It will only end when? With the appointment and the arrival and the coming of Imam Mahdi rahimahullah, which is the first major sign of Qiyamah. What is happening currently right now in the land of Ghouta, the few minutes that I have, firstly, we said that Eastern Ghouta, the trouble is happening in Eastern Ghouta. Ghouta is a huge district. In Eastern Ghouta, that is where there is a lot of atrocities being perpetrated against the innocent civilians there. And extensively by the Russian forces. Okay? Eastern Ghouta, it's about 10 kilometers from central Damascus. It is a 104 square kilometer district. And it is home to about 400,000 civilians. So you have 400,000 civilians residing over there. And you know what's astonishing? Half of those civilians are children under the age of 18. So you have about 200,000 from those residents who are children under the age of 18. On March 15th, right, we know the Syrian war in this year, in fact, March 15th, the civil war in Syria will enter its eighth year. Will be eighth year of the civil war that we have over there. During these 8 years, brothers, the Ummah has lost 465,000 people. 500,000 Muslims were killed during this period of time. 12 million have been displaced from their homes. Eastern Ghouta, which we have been discussing this afternoon, has been under siege by the Syrian government since 2013. Since then, it has been under siege. From 2013. They have been under siege. And there's a chronic food and medicine shortages. It has completely devastated Ghouta. There are severe cases of malnutrition. Relentless bombing commenced now on February the 19th, when Syrian forces, backed by Russian warplanes, they went and they killed, wallahi, over the past 11, 12 days, hundreds of innocent people, not combatants, but innocent children, women, have been killed and mercilessly murdered. And the reports, many of us must have seen the footages, many of us might have heard the audios, that little girl who was in a cave appealing to the ummah that I have nothing to eat, I have nothing to wear, I don't have a shelter over my head, I'm left helpless, I'm by myself, I'm calling out to the ummah for help. The death toll, 602 civilians have been killed over the past 11 days. 602 innocent civilians. We are not talking of the militants and the combatants that are there. Over 185 children and 109 women were killed in the past 3 months in that region. Brothers, they are living in very severe and trying conditions. But again, this is the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has chosen them for this fitna that we spoke about. They have been chosen for the trial. Why? Because they have the quality of perseverance and sabr within them. We should make shukr. We should be grateful to Allah for the bounties that we enjoy. We have the freedom of religion. We have the freedom of economy, the freedom of every form of freedom we enjoy in this part of the country. We should accept and we should appreciate this. And we should utilize this to our advantage. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring relief to the Muslims suffering in Al-Ghouta, the children in that part of the area and around the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding and make us realize that He has placed us in this world to make a difference. And let us see how every one of us can make a difference, if not to the people suffering in that part of the world, but those people suffering within my community, those people who are suffering within my society, those people who are suffering within my family. And let us spare a dua, raise our hands and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate their sufferings and to bring about peace around the world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.